So it's interesting how in this place, on the one hand, we have the pastimes of Lalita and the Sakhi of Madhurya Das, and at the same time, we have a clear presence of Sakhya Ras also, because we have Balaram, and we have here, we just walked past this Triveni Kulp, this well which Krishna made for his cows when they came here, and then invoked the Triveni, the Yamuna, the Ganga, and the Saraswati for his cows. So we see that both of these rasas are there, and that is essential. Sometimes Vaishnavas in Vrindavan are speaking of the highest and saying that in the highest only Radha and Krishna and the gopis are there. But all these five rasas in Vrindavan are important because they all meet each other. Because without the presence of others, that mood of separation is not there. When Krishna is with the cowherd boys, the gopis are in separation. When Krishna is with the gopis, the cowherd boys are in separation. And their eagerness is increasing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Janaka sama. हम तो नहीं जाएंगे
बरसाना जाएगा ना
नहीं नहीं दूसरा लोग पसंद
है हम बरसाना जाते हैं ना तो आपको नहीं मिल पाएगा इसलिए इनकी राधे राधे घर में प्रभु को कुछ दे
Krishna. At least a finer subject as I say, I need to concentrate. And so one rasa facilitates the other rasa. Yesterday, or the day before yesterday, we were in Yava. And there's Jatila, Krishna's mother-in-law, and she seems to be almost inimical, you know, seems to be like a big obstacle, but in fact all she's doing is increasing the eagerness between Radha and Krishna, you know, to meet. So her, that's also a service, therefore being a mother-in-law, in her case, that's a service.
Okay.
Yeah. So like that, Jatila is the original mother-in-law, and many mother-in-law jokes in the world. But Krishna's mother-in-law is just increasing his eagerness, Radharani's father-in-law, increasing the eagerness between them. So all the rasas are complementing each other. So Krishna comes here with the cowherd boys, but like I said the day before yesterday also, with obvious reasons. It's not that these two rasas are like totally separated from each other. Krishna comes here, then goes looking for that lost calf, and in this way Krishna is performing these pastimes side by side. I forgot that Rukmini reminded me that last time when I was here I explained that Balaram is black, and because the deities in the Balaram temple are Balaram and Revati. And the reason why Balaram is black, it is said that one time Balaram was chanting the name of Krishna. And as he was chanting, he became so absorbed in his chanting of the holy name that he turned black. It hasn't happened to me just yet, or to any of us, right? So that's an incredible level of absorption. Balaram is the original spiritual master, and shows in that way as Adi Guru, and what it means, you know, to really change. So I wanted to read a few verses from the Hansa Dutta, because I like the Hansa Dutta. So Rupa Goswami also wrote a book, Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, and there he gives a description of Krishna and his associates, and there he describes Lalita and how she's a little older and how she dresses in a dress of peacock feathers. So that's also an interesting book to look at, but we're going to look at the Hansa Dutta. Kulam vibrano dalita haritala juti param java puspa seni ruchi ruchi rapadam bujatala tamala shamangu dara hasita lilanchita muka purananda boga spuratu ibime kopi purushaha. May a certain blissful person in splendid yellow silk garments, the soles of his lotus feet, glorious as a host of red roses, his form dark as a tamal tree, and his mouth playfully curved in a gentle smile, appear in my heart. So I really like it that may that a certain blissful person, Parananda Boga Spurita, that Krishna is a blissful person. I think that's something that's kind of stands out for me in this verse. When I meditate on Krishna as a blissful person, just so filled with happiness, then just by seeing him, one also immediately becomes filled with it. Yadayato gopiridaya madano nandasadhanam mukunda gandinyas tanayam manavinda madhupurim tadamam chichchinta sariti gananda parichaye agadayam vadamaya payasi radha virani. At the request of Akrura, Krishna and Balaram left the house of Nanda Maharaj for Mathura. At that time, Srimati Radharani's mind was disrupted and she became almost mad because of extreme separation from Krishna. She experienced great mental pain and agitation, which caused her to drown in mental speculation in the river of anxiety. Kada chit kedaknin vikata itum antargatam asu sahali dilebe taralita mana yamuna tapin chiratasis chitam parichita kutira valokana avastatastaras putam Atasushitriyasaki. One day, when Srimati Radharani was feeling much affliction because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There, Radharani saw a cottage wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures, and by remembering those incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. Tada nispangangi kalita nalini palava kulai parinahatrenam makusala sasantam si ridayai drigambo gambiri krita mihira putri lahari de vilina durinam pari parivavri parijanai. Fallen in the dust and her limbs motionless, she was surrounded by friends holding lotuses, their hearts, out of love, filled with hundreds of fears, and their tears flooding the Yamuna's waves. Tatastam yastangim ursalalitaya kamalini palasai kalindi salila sisirair vijitatanum paravrita sasankura chalita kantim kalayatam saki sandohanam pramada barasali dvanirabhu. When her limbs, resting on Lalita's breast, were fanned with many lotus petals cool with Yamuna water, and her throat moved with the sprout of a breath, her watching friends made a joyful song. Nidayanke pankeruha galavitankasya lalita tato radam niraharana saranam yastacharana milantam kalinni pulina bhuvi kelam sitagatim dadar sagre kanchin madura virutam svetagarutam. The svetagarutam is the white swan, the svetagarutam. Placing Radha on a bed of lotus petals to fetch some water, Lalita put her feet on the path. On the Yamuna's shore, she saw a graceful and sweet moving around white swan approaching. Tadaloka stokochvasita ridaya sadaramasu pranamam sansanti lagu lagu samsajasa vidam drito kanta sajohari sadasi sandesarane varam dutam menetam atilalitam huntalalita. Her heart, encouraged by seeing the swan, anxious Lalita cautiously approached it, respectfully bowed before it and praised it. She thought the graceful swan an ideal messenger to carry a letter to Lord Hari's assembly. Ama sat premirsyam sapadidatari kam samatane pravittahamsya sam abilasitam sansitum masu natasya dosayam yadiha vihagam parti tavati nakasmin visrambam disati hari bhakti pranayita. Wrapped in anger of love for Krishna, she told the swan of her desires. She's not at fault for speaking to a bird. Where will a girl overcome with love for Lord Hari not place her faith? Pavitre supraya virachaya sito isu vasatin ramodam nalike vasi visadatma swayam nasi atoham dukata saranam abalatam gatavati nayan sasatpase rajati kadachitti palatam. You live in pure waters. You find happiness among the lotus stems. Your heart is pure. For this reason, I, a very unhappy woman, take shelter of you. A request to a saintly person is never fruitless. Lalita had chosen the swan because a swan, after all, is not an ordinary being. A swan is eating only the stems of lotuses. A swan has the ability to separate milk from water. A swan is naturally dwelling in pure places. Therefore, a swan is naturally having a certain amount of piety. Therefore, because the swan was pious, this one was to be taken as a saintly person. Therefore, Lalita was saying that naturally she would take shelter of that person. You live in pure water. You find happiness among the lotus flowers. Your heart is pure. For this reason, I, a very unhappy woman, take shelter of you. A request to a saintly person is never fruitless. So she's not only asking this one, but she's also reminding this one, you are a saintly person. Right? And as a saintly person, you have certain duties. Saintly persons are merciful, so you have to be merciful. Even if you're not merciful, you're inclined, you have to be, therefore you must be a merciful. So, all along Lalita has some doubt. She chooses the swan but as a messenger, but she's not quite sure if the swan is actually going to surrender to it. That will carry on. Shiram vismrityasyam man viradana jalavikala kalavam sanandam vasati maturayam madhu ripu tatetam sandesam samanasi samadhiya nikilam bhavan kshipram tasya sravana padavim sangamayatu. Forgetting us, who are tormented by the flames of separation from him, artistic Krishna happily lives in Mathura. Please place this message in your heart and at once put it on the path to his ears. So very poetic, with the message to the path of his ear. Niyasta pratuham bhavatu bhavatu vachmani shivam samuttistak sipram manasi mudam adar sarayam ahasta davanto lagu lagu samuttana nayane bhavantam diksantam utaka tarala gupishisava. May all obstacles be cast aside. May your path be easy, placing happiness and mercy in your heart. Rise at once. Then the running and playing gopa boys will gaze at you with wide open eyes. So Lalita is acting in this way like the spiritual master. She has chosen the swan to become a messenger. A messenger of the pure devotee. But this one is, although pious and therefore maybe a suitable candidate, but this one is not convinced. So this one may have some good qualities, but this one is not truly convinced. So Lalita is trying to motivate this one. She's trying to point out the need of Krishna. That Krishna is in great need. So, as a spiritual master does, he's trying to point out the need of Krishna and put the need of Krishna before your own. Somehow or other, that is the glorious part. And of course, there are many obstacles. There may be many difficulties and reasons why it looks simply too much to do all this. Therefore, may all obstacles be cast aside. May your path be easy. The blessing is. Placing happiness and mercy in your heart, rise at once. Savai jati sindhu kafina matina dana patina yasyaninye turnam pasupa yuvati jivanapati Taya gantavya tenikila jagare kapratittaya padavya bhavyanam tilaka kila darsare nagari. O Tilak of the saintly devotees, taking the path famous in all world by which hard-hearted Akrura quickly took away the ocean of handsomeness that rules the young gopi's life, go to the city of the Dasar. So Tilak is representing our bhakti. And we are wearing Tilak. And then that Tilak is blessing everyone with the remembrance of Krishna. So Tilak is in front. And then the devotee follows behind. So the swan is white, like Tilak, and in front. Therefore, that swan is the Tilak of the saintly devotee. Take that path, and hard-hearted Akrura who took away Krishna. Gopis are not so fond of Akrura. Galat. Galat baspa sarapluta davalagam namriko driso idu yante yatra prabala manana visha vivasa twaya vigyatavya haricharana sanga pranan yina dhruvam sa chakrangi rati saka satangasya padavi. O passionate lover of your swan mate, go by the path of the chariot touched by Lord Hari's feet, a path where the dear-eyed gopis, a flood of tears streaming down their pale cheeks, were tortured by Kamadev. So Kamadev, it is described that at one point Lord Brahma created the twilight, and as he created the twilight, then somehow or other that twilight created like a mystic feature. It was unclear to see in the twilight. And it just appeared like a woman wearing a dark veil. And the asuras immediately became attracted by that twilight. Even Lord Brahma, although he didn't run after the twilight, he became agitated and later he also became influenced by lust. So when that happened, then from the body of Brahma, a personality appeared. Now we see that in the creation of Brahma, so many forms appear from the body of Brahma. So this form appeared, and a handsome form. And then this form, Brahma looked upon. Who is this form that appeared from my body? Who is this? And then that personality took a flower bow and started to shoot arrows left and right, and all the living entities in the whole universe became mad with lust, including Brahma's. So, in this way, Kamadev appeared. So the swan, being a passionate lover, he knows very well what it's like. He has his own swan mate, and therefore the swan should be able to understand what the gopis are going through, openly what Srimati Radharani is going through. Therefore the swan should be compassionate. Being able to understand the suffering of others, that swan should be compassionate. Sivan jambu swayam mihiradu hitu dhari maduram mrinali bunjana Imakara kalakum malarucha sanam ristan tistan nibida vitape sakini shake shukina prastanam rachayatu bhavan vishninagare. Sip the sweet jambu dark yamuna water, eat some lotus stem soft and splendid as moonlight, for a moment rest under a great tree, and then, O friend, happy, go to the city of the Vishnu. So Lalita is appreciating that it's going to be an effort, and that that candidate for going on the spiritual path, the path that Krishna went, that candidate needs support, and that that candidate needs material care, and that the material conditions have to be right. Therefore, eat, drink some sweet Yamuna water, yes, have some lotus stems, and then after the sat, rest a little bit before you go. So basically Lalita is offering a foundation, a material foundation, material facility. So we also require. So the spiritual masters have offered us, yes, yes, whatever you want. Srila Prabhupada says that, he says when we become devotees, he said, good fortune comes our way. Everything you desire is available. Everything comes. Everything is given to us, whatever we need. And Prabhupada said, you want, we live in a palace, we eat the best food, we have the best clothes. He said, you want beautiful wife, right? Or husband, we have. Yeah, you can have all that also. Said, everything can be provided. Said, actually, material happiness, a devotee doesn't have to endeavor for it. It is automatically rolling at the devotee's feet. In fact, so in this way, Lalita, as an expert preacher, as an expert spiritual master, is leading the candidate along the path, encouraging in different ways.
This you left some
banana
peel. You can keep all the stuff with you.
And all the remnants should be thrown over the wall.
You keep your bags with you, Mukherjee.
If there's any banana peels left, don't take them on from the mountain, but the rest, throw them over the wall. Only banana.
No.
Okay. Are there many banana peels in here? Okay. Don't eat anywhere. No, next year, 20. Balat akradanti ratapatikam kuramilitam vidurat abiru tatiran yayena ramanam tamado pantanam ratya charitatravahite virajanti sarvupari paramaham sustiti rayam. Fly over the path where the passionately crying gopis followed their lover as he went on a cruel chariot, and you will become the greatest of swans. So simply fly over the path where the devotees were deeply attached to Krishna. Follow that path, and by following that path you will become a great Paramahansa. You can see the double meaning in this verse. There's the whole path of the sadhaka, of the practicing devotee, is basically outlined here in these verses, and Yamuna is, not Yamuna, Lalita is acting as a spiritual master. I will not read the whole book because it is a little too long, but a little bit more if you don't mind. Kiranti lavanyam disi disi sikandi Tabapino, Dadana Sadiya, Kanaka Vimala Juti Vasanam, Tamala Shamangi Sarala Murali Chumbita Muki, Jugo Chitram Jata Prakata Paramananda Lahari, Daya Buya Kridara Basa Vilasat Balava Vadu, Vapur Vali Brisyan, Mrigamada Kana Shalikaya, Vidatavyo Hanishaka Dalita Mani Latikaya Samanta Tulasa Stava Manasi Rasa Stavikaya. The Ras Lila place, a place where dancing broke the jasmine vines, a place dark with musk falling from the fine forms of the splendid and playful gopis, a place where a person crowned with peacock feathers, dressed in garments splendid as gold, his limbs dark as a tamal tree, filling all directions with glorious handsomeness, flooding the world with waves of bliss, and his mouth kissing a simple flute, make wonderful music to put joy in your heart. So she's describing the root, but at the same time also giving the swan an incentive. You will go to an amazing place. You know the others have come. You have no more fruits in you. Next they'll come for your bananas. They smell them. Huh? Over the wall. Go to the wall, hide it, and throw it quickly over something over the wall. Ganesh, what did you do? Sometimes Lalita speaks of high spiritual incentives, and sometimes Lalita speaks of a material incentive. Like she's saying, you know, in the palace in Mathura, there is a terrace, a roof terrace, and on that roof terrace, there is a life-size, more than life-size, crystal swan. And even Lord Brahma, he came there with his swan carrier, and Lord Brahma and his swan carrier, and the swan carrier, he like went beyond himself when he saw that. So then, in this way, Lalita is offering a material incentive to the swan. So sometimes the spiritual master is offering material incentives. Like Prabhupada was, sometimes he started competition, you know, number one, you know. Somehow or other, people were young and passionate, and it meant, of course, they all wanted to please Prabhupada, and Prabhupada also feed it. Because whoever was number one got special mercy. So there was also more than just mundane, you know, there was a spirit. But the mundane, that competition spirit, which was strongly there in his society, he was feeding it like that. Using a material incentive, because if we have to become motivated by only spiritual emotions, it is very difficult. Therefore, you know, although one should be at a stage where any devotional service is equally blissful, still there is some service we like more than other service, some temples we like more than other temples, some places like that. So the spiritual masters, they do both. Sometimes they expertly use our material attachments and encourage us to do things along our expertise and experience. And other times, they ask us to do impossible things, things that go completely against our nature, our previous experience, and it's like, I can't do this. But then those who are sincere and try, then everything is possible. I bought these books about Yamuna's life, and I can recommend them because they're very cheap, only 1500 rupees for two big hardbound books, and it's extremely cheap actually, if you think of it, you know, such books, big books, and a great treasure. I mean, I think you should all buy if you can and read it, because there is a little bit of a special insight into the history which you only get to those devotees. Like, for example, recently the GVC, with all due respect, passed a resolution that this singing of male voices and then female voices is no longer allowed, separated, right? They said no gender-based separation in the kirtan. But then in Yamuna's book, it said that Prabhupada did it.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Prabhupada did it. Not that I'm trying to create politics, but it was, I just found it interesting to read things like that. So there is a wealth of experience there, actually, of what Prabhupada was how he conducted himself. And of course we have a lot from the Lilamrita. Like, it is known that Prabhupada was traveling on the train with his devotees from Amritsar to Bombay, and that on the way, somehow or other, Prabhupada had this urge for rice, right? And that Yamuna, and Prabhupada said to Yamuna he wanted rice, where to get rice, right? But she explained, it's like at that, in those days, you know, the desire of the spiritual master was rice, right? So they had to have rice. So they're gonna get rice somehow or other. How? Don't know. But there must be, there's a kitchen on this train, so she went to the kitchen. But she didn't speak Hindi, right? So she tried to explain it, like, you know, guru, rice, you know. But you know, the kitchen was a black hole, you know, and the guys were like black, the whole kitchen was black. There were dried fish hanging from the ceiling. But anyway, you know, so there was a kitchen supervisor, and she tried with the supervisor, also no success. So then she went to the conductor of the train, right? And she said to the conductor that she had to cook for her guru, right? And he said, and the conductor said, no, it's not possible. And she said, look, I mean, I must do it. If I don't cook for the guru, then I may as well throw myself off the train, you know? So then he became worried that she was going to throw herself off the train, right? So at that point, conductor surrendered, and then she made that rice. She boiled the rice there and brought this steamed pot of rice. Don't do anything. No. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're going in a minute. Let me just finish the story and then we'll go. So she came in with a steaming pot of rice, put some ghee on top, and then Prabhupada said, she knocked on the compartment, the first class compartment. Yes, he came in, and Prabhupada, the rice, the rice, oh, it's something. A few ladies came with the pot, with Yamuna made, and then said, like, my goddesses of fortune have come with the rice, with my rice. And then he had his rice. So it was that spirit, you know, of just somehow or other doing everything, anything, that came because Prabhupada little by little purchased his disciples, by affectionate exchanges, and then again demanding difficult tasks. And then they were ready to do anything. It's the same train journey where a little later they stop in Delhi, and then Guru Das and Yamuna are asked to just get down off the train. They're all traveling together, and they just ask. One man comes on the train, offers some temple, and Prabhupada says, Okay, Guru Das and Yamuna, why don't you go with him? Yeah, so imagine we would just leave some people here in the village to sort of open a temple. Yeah, how would you feel, you know, after the parikram? Wow. And goes, stay here for the next 6 months. But Prabhupada could do such things. And the devotees did it. That was the glorious element of those relationships. And one may say that, yes, Prabhupada was able to awaken that kind of surrender. Or one might say that, no, Krishna sent some special souls to Prabhupada who were especially surrendered. And that's why we were not there at that time. Because we would have said, sorry, no rice. He would say, knock, 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 yes. Sorry, Prabhupada, no rice. He said, get out of here. And like, you know, and when he would have said, get down in Delhi, he said, but Srila Prabhupada, I'm really not well, you know, actually, lately, I've been quite ill, and I will go to Delhi later, but now we can't really go to Delhi. He would think of a million ways to get out of it, you know, somehow or other. I'll help. But this spirit of just doing it, that was in these devotees. One might say, Prabhupada awakened it, and that's true. But something was in them also, and that's why they were the chosen ones for these early pastimes where such incredible surrender was required. Exciting and impossible. Incredibly austere. At that time I was not a devotee, but I was on my own, traveling through India in many similar ways as they did, like in the, you know, in the unreserved trains, right, on the floor or on the wooden benches for 36 hours. Very austere, right? Very rough. So we can appreciate we need a bit more of that spirit these days. A bit more, that would bring the adventure back, you see. When ISKCON becomes all comfortable and cushy and everything is soft and nice, and you know, where's the adventure? Imagine someone would stay here and open it. That would be adventurous. You can move in the house of the driver. You already have a connection. Yeah. I get your room there. There you go. Then you think, who am I going to choose?
I have a son, I have to go.
Your husband will take care of it. He's good at it. So let's go to Dehapunt. A little bit about the Samadhi Narayan Bhatt. No? So Narayan Bhatt is a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, or at least in that line. And he was a householder, but a learned scholar and brahmana. He wrote many books, and in particular a book about all the holy places in Braj and identifying various places with quotes from the scripture, not only by his deity, but just like Rupa and Sanatan did, quoting with various scriptures supporting the identity of the various places. And that way we are indebted to Narayan Bhakt as we are doing our parikrama, but actually all this was not commonly known. So here we are in the greater parikrama of Varsana and in the Astasaki villages. We do only one village today, but actually there are 8 villages, and they're all extremely nice because, you know, they're a little bit untouched, you know, not like there's no panda communities. And, okay, you may get some Yatri Lok in Kartik, you know, that comes from people. And, but, so, it's very peaceful. And because there is a lot here, you can easily spend the whole day here from the morning till the night. Today I don't have from the morning till the night, so I go back for lunch. But another time, we'll come here. Then a little further is Kamyavan, where also pastimes took place. Then Chitsoli, the place of Chitradevi, is nearby. All these places are in this area. Very beautiful places. So I can recommend to do all these 8 villages. Yeah. On another occasion, we'll do it. All the 8 villages.
They're all here.
All in this area.
If you want to go by what you have to learn,
you know, rickshaw, or you rent a jeep, or a car, whatever. Yeah. It's easier to rent a car and then you go to this place.
Yes, but what
I think you should not go by yourself. If you go with a devotee, you know. Like today, you could have gone on your own with a little book, right? It would not be the same. No one would have chanted you the Sanskrit verses of the Hansa Gita. No one would have given you some explanation. So, alone is nice, but not the same. Go with some older devotee. So when you want to go on parikrama, there's no one, just go with Dinabandhu, wherever he takes you. Just go with Dinabandhu. As long as Dinabandhu lives, just go with Dinabandhu. Just go with Dinabandhu. But that's all. It's good enough. Unshagan. This is the high village. Unshagan.
Not in Instagram, but in this area, this is like